Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you we can just come into your presence right now, Lord. We're thankful for so many things, Lord. We're thankful for your love and your mercy. We thank you for servants, Lord, in the church who serve and step up in times of need, Lord. And I'm thankful for that. I pray right now, Lord, for the people in Florida and in the Gulf area, Lord, as Hurricane Irma works its way up the west coast of Florida, Lord. I've never lived through a hurricane. I have no idea what it's like, Lord, but I've seen the pictures. And it troubles my heart, Lord. And there's many people there that are going to be in great need. And so, Lord, I know that you'll raise up saints and people to help, Lord. And so we pray for their strength now. We pray for your comfort and protection. We pray for only the things that you can do, Lord. I pray for this storm to just dissipate, Lord. I pray for it to lose strength, Lord. And I also pray for those in Texas, Lord, that are recovering from another hurricane. And I just pray that you just be with them in the continued relief efforts, Lord. I pray for the firefighters here in the West. I pray for the families of the police officers this week that were shot, Lord. There's so many things to pray about, Lord. I pray for those right now who are struggling with physical problems, those looking for jobs, those in broken relationships. All around us, Lord, we see the brokenness of this world, and so we pray for them. I pray for Pastor Josue in Haiti, Lord, as he has an orphanage that he's working, and they have the storm that has passed by them, and they have other needs, Lord. There's just so much need in this world. So, Lord, we ask for your presence. We ask for your grace. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a lot to pray for. One of the offering, the offering was coming across a CMO. You know, part of what CMO, California Mission Offering, part of that is that we have a disaster relief team. And so I would ask if you want to donate money to that, especially in light of what's happening. We sent a team down, California sent a team down to Texas. So if you want to designate some of that money for disaster relief, you can do that. Also, I would encourage you to go to the North American Mission Board, NAMB.com. If you go there, you will find North American Mission Board. Just look it up on Google, wherever. You will find right on their opening, as soon as you open up the page, there's a place that you can go to and you can donate money to NAM, which will help with the relief efforts in Florida and Georgia and all the Gulf Coast right there, and in Texas. And because if you don't know, Southern Baptists were the third largest relief organization in America. And so it takes money what they do. They're heading down in those areas right now with food and provisions. So if you can't go there physically, help out monetarily. Every penny helps. So I just encourage you to do that. If you have your Bibles, please open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses. We're going to look at chapter 5 verses 1 through 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 1 through 11. If you open up in a pew Bible, I think it's like 10:47, right around there. As I prayed for this morning, we talked about Hurricane Irma. Texas is recovering from Harvey. If you don't know, there was an earthquake in Mexico this week, an 8.1, that killed 32 people. If you don't know, I think it's four officers. Two were killed, and two were shot in the last 2 weeks right here in Sacramento. I mean, while there was a memorial service being broadcast on the radio, I was listening to it. Two officers were shot during the memorial service in another location, but it was happening at the same time. North Korea, I mean, we've all but forgot about that crazy person trying to get a nuke. I mean, there's a lot of things. And how about just, you know, those are big things, aren't there? But how about just in your own family? There's things going on. Life is happening all around us. We have people with cancer struggling. We have people that are just life is hard. We're looking for a job there and broken relationships. There's all kinds of things happening, right? It's all around us. There are many things to pray for. And many of us know the people that are impacted by these events that are taking place. But you know what also happens during these times when we have all these events is all these people start popping up and talking about prophecy. If the end is coming. I mean, I see them on the internet, I see them on Facebook. It's amazing to me. You know, I'm 51 years old, and I've been listening since Al Lindsey. I can remember him in the 70s. This has all been happening over and over again. And we always think it's something new. But, you know, this stuff's been going on from Paul's time. Because even in Paul's time, because he's talking about it in this letter, people were saying the end's coming. So this has been going on and on and on and on and on for 2,000 years. This is nothing new. The only thing that I would say now is kind of new is that we have 7 billion people on the planet. And when things happen, it impacts a lot of people. But events have been happening for a long time. This morning, I want you to be encouraged that this isn't something new. Events have been happening. And at the same time, though, as these events do happen, I want you this morning to be encouraged and to put your trust in God. Amen. To put your trust in God. And here's the other thing I want you to be. I want you to be ready. You should be ready. Living expectantly. Be ready. Be ready. This morning's message is titled, A Thief in the Night. It just comes right out of the passage. And I hope what happens is that as we look at this passage, what I want you to become is sober-minded. Sober-minded. I don't know if you've ever been sober-minded, but it's like you're alert, you're awake, you know what's happening. So right after a jolt of coffee in the morning, that clarity moment when everything is right? Until you start watching news and different things. But to be ready, we want to be sober-minded about the events that are taking place and what have been coming and the coming of Christ. We want to be mindful that Christ is returning. And these events just remind us that He's going to come because things are broken and He's going to come back. Paul's answering a question. If you read this, he's answering a question. We learned this from last week and we'll see it this week because he's answering questions because people were asking about the parousia, about the coming of Christ. And they wanted to know what would happen to the dead who have died because some people were expecting Christ to come back in their lifetime. And what was happening? People in the church started to die, and so the people that were still alive were saying, wait a minute, what's going to happen to them when Christ returns? Are they going to miss something? Is something going to happen? What's going to happen to them? What happens when we pass away? And so Paul answers that question, and then he turns around and he starts talking about the day of the Lord, the day when the Lord is returning. And he starts explaining to the church, and the thing that gets me is when we read this passage, and I'm going to read through it. What you're going to start to see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, is that he talks about the coming of Christ, but he's more concerned with our conduct and how we conduct ourselves in this time. Knowing that Christ is coming back, how are you living your life? That's what he's concerned about. He's not so much about the day of the Lord, is it about how you act day in and day out. So let's read it together. And here's what it says. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. It says, about the time and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, like labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, not in the dark, for this day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not sleep like the rest, but let us stay awake and be self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled and put on the armor of faith and love and the helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we're awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage each other and build each other up as you are already doing. Amen. That's an encouraging passage. And the thing he's telling us, he opens up by talking about this day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. But we are not to be surprised. We're not to be surprised about that day. We know it's coming. And we shouldn't be surprised by it whatsoever. Firstly, Paul says, no one knows the time and date of Christ's return. Anytime you see someone set a time or date, you know right off the bat that that ain't right. I remember one summer, my dad sent me a letter about his pastor set a date for like July 10th that the world was going to end. And he wrote me like a 4-page letter about how concerned he was about my salvation at the time and just how I need to get my life in order. Well, guess what happened? July 10th came and went. And I'm still here. We're all still here. It will happen, though, Paul says. And Jesus said the same thing, when you least expect it. A thief comes when you least expect it. I remember when I was growing up in Pontiac, Michigan, we came home one evening, and guess what was in our house? Thieves. And they had the TV bundled up, everything, the couch, everything. They're going to take everything, right? And my dad chased them out the back door. I can remember that. Right? As a little kid, I remember that. Well, we all went to bed thinking, there's no way that the thieves are going to come back, right? Not while we're sleeping. But you know what happened? They came back that night and they took everything while we were asleep. We woke up to nothing. I mean, they took everything. It was amazing to me. Anything of value was gone. They even went through our room. I had a room my grandmother gave me, a bunch of silver coins. Gone. All gone. Everything was gone. It's amazing. And we didn't even know it happened. That's what Jesus says it's going to be like. You're not going to expect it. It's going to come in a time and a place when you didn't know it was going to happen. And it's just going to take place. And here's the other thing, is that you're not going to be able to stop it. Even if you knew it was going to happen, you wouldn't be able to stop it. You know, I've watched the birth of 3 boys. I watched all 3 of my boys come into the world. And I can tell you, and you moms out there can tell me, that once birth starts, you don't stop it. I can remember the doctor telling my wife, stop pushing, and she just looked at him like, it ain't going to happen. I'm not stopping. It was going to come. That child was coming into the world. And so it'll be like the coming of Christ. We can't stop it. You won't know when, and you won't be able to stop it. So what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? Like the coming of Christ, we will see the signs. Jesus says we'll see the signs. We'll know. He uses the illustration out of Luke chapter 21, and we're going to look there so you can start kind of fingering towards there. He tells us that the coming of Christ will be like a tree. How many of you have seen a tree in the spring as the leaves start to bud? We've all seen it, right? We've all seen it. And what does that tell us? It tells us that spring is here and that summer is coming. We know that summer's right around the corner because the leaves have turned. And he says in the same way, the coming of Christ, the returning of his return, the day of the Lord, he says, will be like the trees that are budding. You will know. So I think we're going to be mindful that something's up. Those who are alive at the time of coming of Christ, you're going to know something's not right. Something is going to happen. And he tells us, because we'll know, that we should be on our guard. We should be mindful. We should be on our guard that Christ is returning. And Paul's more concerned, as you can see in this passage, about being ready and how we conduct ourselves and knowing that Christ is returning. And he says, but we are not to be afraid of Christ returning. It is a day for us to rejoice and not to be afraid of. What always gets me about prophecy, all these guys, they all like make you so scared about what's going to happen. I had a truck driver, who all of a sudden found me on Facebook, who was convinced he had a vision that California was going to be destroyed. And so he started contacting me through Facebook saying, I need to get ready. And I was like, what am I going to get ready for if California goes into the ocean? Get a life raft? I don't know what you want me to get ready for. You know, he says, because you're going to have to take care of people. And I said, well, God will provide that. We'll take care of that when and if it happens. And he was so frustrated with me because I didn't have the same fear that he had. I said, I trust in Christ. I trust that God will take care of me. And if he wants to take me home, he can take me home. And if he wants me to help other people, then I'll help other people. Whatever it is, I will trust him. But I'm not going to worry about something that might happen. I'll worry about when it happens. But I'm going to trust Christ in the meantime. Amen? Amen. I don't know if you guys ever had anybody tell you that kind of stuff. They're around up there. But the day of the Lord is a very serious time. It's a very serious time, and it's not something that we should take lightly. For those who aren't in Christ, it is a day of judgment. And it is a day that all of us should be worried about if we have friends and family and other people who don't know Christ and we love them. Because it is a day when there's going to be no more choice left. Because Christ is going to come back, and he's going to come back not as the Lamb who's bringing atonement, who's bringing grace to the world through the cross, but he's going to be coming as judge and as king. It's totally different. Look at like a passage like Amos 5 describes the day of the Lord. Amos 5 says this, Amos 5, 18 through 20. This is how Amos describes the day of the Lord. Woe unto you who long for the day of the Lord, he says. What a day of the Lord will be for you. It'll be darkness and no light. It'll be like a man who flees from a lion only to be confronted by a bear. And then when he gets home and rests his hand against the wall only to have a snake bite him. I mean, that's not a good day. That's not a good day at all. I mean, it's not a day of choice. Joel says that the sun will turn to darkness and the moon blood before the great and terrible day that the Lord comes. See, for when the Bible talks about the day of the Lord, it's a terrible day for a lot of people. And you can read about it in like Isaiah 13. Just look up day of the Lord in the Old Testament. You'll find all kinds of references. And you can find it, Jesus talks about it in Mark 13, Matthew 24, and Luke 21. You can look it all up and see what he says about it. This day will come like a thief in the night. It's always that way in the Bible. And you will not know the time and date. It'll come in a time when you don't expect it. And like birth, you won't stop it. So then what do we do? What do we do? We live expectantly. Because we know it's coming. We're warned. We're told. And so we live our lives expectantly. Jesus warns us, and if you turn your Bible to Luke 21 that I was telling you, Luke 21, this is what he says. Luke 21, 34 and 35, or through 36. He says, be on your guard so that your minds are not dulled from carousing and drunkenness and worries of this life, or the day will come on you unexpectedly. Like a trap, it will come on you and all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all the things that are going to take place to stand before the Son of Man. See, you read that verse, though, who's he talking to? He's talking to the people who aren't expecting it. who aren't looking for it. Because he tells us to be on our guard. And if you read just a passage before, just a little bit back in the chapter, you'll see that he talks about the same thing, about the seas roaring and the things coming to an end. But he says to the believer, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is near. Because when we see these things happen, we should stand up and say, yes, Jesus is coming. And we should rejoice in that moment. We don't live in fear because we put our faith in Christ. We are to be sober-minded, and our lives are to reflect that reality as we live out our life. We see the world is broken. We can see it around us. We can look everywhere, and we can see the brokenness. We see the evidence of it, and just in the events that are taking place right now, the world's not right. It's not right at all. It's broken, and we can see it. And we know what the root of the problem is. It's because sin has come into the world. And sin, with all its destruction, has come into the world, and we can see the effects of it. Paul even tells us that all of creation is impacted by it. And that creation, in Romans 8, tells us that creation moans or groans for the day of redemption, for the day when Christ will come back and restore all things. Because decay and death weren't meant to be here. All this destruction that's taken place, hurricanes and earthquakes, all that isn't part of the plan. That all came into being because of disobedience to the Word of God. In the garden, Adam and Eve disobeyed God and His command. And because of it, the world is broken. And God is coming back to set it right. We place our trust in the Lord, and we are to live differently. Because we know this, we should live differently. We are to be self-controlled, and we are to wear the armor of faith and love, and wear the helmet of hope of our salvation. We don't fear this because we have our hope of our salvation. We have trusted in the Lord, and we don't have to fear wrath and judgment. Because we've been saved through the cross. We've been saved by Christ. And so we are free to live. We don't have to live in fear. We are free to live. We're free to love and free to share with others. I don't know if you've seen this or not, or if you've never thought about it like this, but these tragedies that happen, there's something that takes place. You see who people really are. Right? You see how things are. I was reading a story about a woman in Home Depot in Florida. They were sold all the generators. They were all gone but one. And the guy had it. Right? And she was so afraid because she needed a generator, because if all the power goes off, her father wouldn't have the machine to keep him alive in the oxygen. And once the man had the story, once he heard the background, the one that was holding the generator, he bought it for the lady and gave it to her. And I remember her sitting down and she said, "He's an angel." And I just thought about how those moments separate men and women and shows our hearts. It shows us who we really are. Those in Christ are going to be helpful. Those, they're just going to be different. They're going to be selfless. They're not going to be about securing everything for themselves, but they're going to risk themselves to go help other people. I was looking at one picture of Harvey, that all the boats, every fisherman, everybody that had a boat from Louisiana all the way to Texas had backed up the line like 30, 40 miles trying to get boats into the Houston area. And he's just told me something about those guys. They're all going down there to help, and they're clogging up all the roads. Because there are so many of them wanting to help out. I mean, that gives me hope. It does give me hope. Our love mobilizes relief efforts in times of tragedy. It moves us to load up vehicles and to drive for thousands of miles to feed others in need. It prompts us to give. That's one of the great things about America. They don't even tell you. When the great tragedies happen, we're a very giving nation, because I still believe that there's many Christians that are in America, and they give. I remember one time reading National Geographic, if you remember, then Indonesia, when they have the big flooding, the tsunami, thank you. And they had the tsunami, and over 400,000 people lost their lives, right? And there was a chart in National Geographic that was showing all the countries and their giving, right? You know what country was missing from that page? The United States. You know why? Because they couldn't chart it compared to the other countries. It was too much. It would embarrass everybody else at the richness of America in their giving. They couldn't even put it on the graph. Just think about that for a moment. God has blessed us, and we are to be the blessing to others. And in his time of tragedy, that we are to do that. It also brings us our trust in Christ and what's happening. It also brings us hope to the hopeless. It also carries the message of a loving God who reaches out and shows grace and mercy to those in need. And he's doing this through the church, the body of believers, the body of Christ. I think it's a beautiful thing. And these tragedies, it's terrible, but I also see the beauty in it, in that how God responds through the body of Christ. The events are taking place should point us and remind us that life here is fragile, it's temporary, and that Christ is returning. He's returning. He's coming back as judge because the world is in sin. And he's also coming back to fix things, to put things back into order, because he created things perfectly in the garden. And everything starts in the garden, and one day will end in the garden. Because we'll all return back to the place where God created everything perfect and holy, and where we live forever with shalom, with peace with our Father. And we walk in the cool of the evening, and we talk and see our Father. We see and know him. I love that. And that's what we know that's coming. So we should not fear the day, but we should be encouraged. Encouraged by the return of Christ. We are made to be with Christ. Paul says that we are made. Those who place their faith in him. He didn't appoint us for wrath, but he's appointed us for salvation. We are his, and nothing can separate us from his love. That should encourage all of us. We live together. We will live together with him because he's entrusted. He's ensured a place in his kingdom by dying for us upon the cross. He purchased us with his own blood. He paid for the wrath and for the judgment of God. And so we never have to worry about that. We don't have to live in fear of death because death doesn't hold us. Sin doesn't contain us. We are free. Free in Christ. And we have a place and we'll spend eternity with him. And it was because of the love of the Father who loved the world that he sent his only Son into the world and to save it, not condemn it. It was the Father who secured our adoption through the Son. And so we are eternally grateful for that. So what do we want to do? We want to pray for those who are suffering that are affected in the areas. We want to pray for the events that are unfolding right before our eyes. We should be a place of prayer. All of us should be praying for Florida, for Mexico, for Texas, for the firefighters, for everything that's taking place around you. And things that are taking place in your life that I have no idea about, you should be praying about them. Be a person of prayer. Give. Give of your time. Give of your money. Give. Be a giving person. God blesses you to bless others. He doesn't bless you for you to keep it for yourself. It's to be shared. That's a whole nother sermon, but I'm telling you, it's a blessing. Don't hang on to things. Give them away. Because the quicker you learn that, life changes. Because you get to see the blessings of God in a whole new way. Most of all, I just want to encourage you right now. As you watch these events unfold in the world, I don't want you to worry. I don't want you wringing your hands. I want you praying and being alert and thinking about ways that you can help out. That's what we should be doing. We shouldn't be sitting in front of our TVs for hours and hours scared. That's not how God wants us to live. He doesn't. We don't fear the things that happen in this world because this is temporary. We long for the day that we'll be home. But while we're here, we're God's children. We're God's saints, the set apart ones who do the work of the Father who sends us. We want to rejoice, as the psalmist says. If you have your Bibles, read it. Open to Psalm 89. And I'll close the sermon out with this psalm. Psalm 89. If you have your Bibles, open. Psalm 89, 1 through 8. Here's what it says. I will sing about the Lord's faithful love forever. I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations with my mouth. For I will declare, faithful love is built up forever. You establish your faithfulness in the heavens. The Lord said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn an oath to David, my servant. I will establish your offspring forever and build up your throne for all generations. Lord, the heaven praise your wonders, your faithfulness also in the assemblies of the holy ones. For who in the skies can compare to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? God is greatly feared in the council of the holy ones, more awe-inspiring than all those who surround him. The Lord God of armies, who is strong like you, Lord? Your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule the raging sea. When its waves surge, you still them. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that we can just be in your presence right now, Lord. And Lord, we do long for you to return. We long for all things to be straightened out, Lord. Lord, I just pray right now for all those in Florida right now that are being battered. Lord, I pray for the fear. I pray for your peace. Where there's fear, I pray for peace, Lord. I pray for comfort and I pray for protection. And Lord, I just pray that you just be in the response, Lord. Not only in the hurricane, but I pray that you'd be in the response. I pray that you'd move saints to pray and to give. And again, Lord, we just thank you every day for the little things and for the big things, Lord. We trust you. And Lord, I just pray right now, if there's somebody here that's never put their faith in Jesus Christ, that right now, Lord, where they're sitting, you would move in their hearts, that you would convince them, Lord, convict them, that you would move in their hearts, Lord, to put their faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, not to wait, because we don't know the time and the date. Not to wait, Lord, but to put their faith in you now, to put their faith in what you've done on the cross for them, that you paid the price for them. You were buried, and on the third day, you rose again. You defeated both sin and death, Lord, and I pray right now that that person sitting there will put their faith not in what they do, not in what they believe or don't believe, but they would put their faith in what you did upon the cross, Lord, and what you did in the grave. And Lord, that you're alive and you sit at the right hand of the Father. And so, Lord, we pray for their faith in you. And I pray for their salvation, Lord. I pray that you would save them. I pray that you'd save all of us, Lord, that you would rescue us. And again, Lord, I thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.